Tonight, we're going to have a bit of a change in the normal schedule. Instead of a sitting and then standing or walking and then a talk, we're going to start with a talk. Then we're going to have a guided meditation and then a little finishing up talk after the meditation. The talks and the meditation will be concerned with compassion and loving kindness and how we can understand them more fully, understand their importance in the practice, and the understanding of a technique which can help our compassion, loving kindness to grow within ourselves. On the first night of the retreat, I talked about a relationship that goes a bit like this. First, we see difficulties, problems, something that's unsatisfactory. Then we have compassion arising towards it, wishing it was not there. Loving kindness may then arise, wishing for peace and happiness to be there instead of the unhappiness. Then with compassion, loving kindness as our thoughts, we go about using mindfulness as our tool, mindfulness or awareness. And with this awareness, we develop understanding. With the understanding, we then work towards solving any difficulty, any problem. Tonight, I'm going to explain this relationship in more detail. I'd also mention the first night that for most, if not all of us, there has come the understanding that there are things in life which are not totally satisfying. Whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's small, whether it's large, continually throughout our life we encounter situations and circumstances which are not totally satisfying. And perhaps on occasion we've tried to ignore these things, other times we've tried to escape from them, and although these methods may give some temporary relief, they're not sufficient to deal fully with all of life. So here we are now at a meditation retreat. Many of you hoping to learn methods and techniques which will work better in your life. Methods and techniques which you can develop within yourself so that you are not so dependent on things outside of yourself. It does not matter in the sense of the words whether your life has had a great deal of satisfaction or only a small amount. It does not matter in the sense of the words whether your life has had a great deal of dissatisfaction or only a small amount. Each one of us in our own way would like to lessen those unsatisfactory aspects of our life. This wishing to lessen or remove difficulties and problems, this, as we mentioned before, is an arising of compassion. Compassion is used here means a feeling of sympathy towards ourselves or others who are experiencing some difficulties. It's a tender heart, and yet it maintains a strength so that it can work towards solving difficulties. In many dictionaries, compassion is defined as a feeling of sympathy or sorrow towards others who are experiencing some difficulty or misfortune, accompanied by the wish to remove the difficulty or remove the causes that bring it about. For purposes here, we are going to adjust the standard dictionary definition in two ways. First, to feel the sorrow of an occasion may be helpful at times, but not to be weighed down by it. That is, to identify with a situation, to feel for it, yet at the same time maintain a strength and a balance so that we can work towards solving the problem. If everyone merely feels the sorrow of a situation and is weighed down by it, then the best solution will be hard to find. The second way we will adjust the standard dictionary definition is that to have compassion only for others does not include everyone. If we take a fairly broad view of life, it's fairly easy to see that separation, change, and death are universal. Each one of us has our own misfortunes, obstacles, and challenges. From time to time we get injured, we get ill, we get separated from things that we want to be with. We have to be with things that we don't want to be with. And often we just do not get what we want. In these ways we are all very similar, and each one of us is another person who also needs compassion. So it's very important to have compassion for ourselves as well as having it for others. It can also be valuable to make a distinction between the word compassion as we use it and another English word, pity. Although these words are frequently used interchangeably, Pity in its actual application indicates a distance between ourselves and someone else who's having a problem. Pity is often as if we put ourselves in a separate little bubble, trying not to be affected by the rest of life. It's a separation. Compassion can be the breaking down of this separate little bubble. Compassion can be a feeling of interconnectedness instead of separation. When there is the arising of compassion with the wish to lessen or remove difficulties, problems, and unhappiness, there often follows this wish, the wish for happiness. This is an important point for each one of us. What is the most important thing that you could wish for yourself or wish for others in order to have happiness? Money, cars, homes, food. These things are very helpful, but they are limited in their ability to produce true deep happiness. Going beyond the limits of material objects is the most important thing. It is having peace of mind. It is having the strengths, the qualities, the characteristics of mind so that we can have a peaceful, calm mind in any situation of life. There are many rich and wealthy people in the world with much money and material assets and comforts, yet who are not happy and are not peaceful. And then it's also possible to find in the world many poorer people with far less money, far less material assets and comforts, yet who are happy and peaceful. If material wealth could always produce happiness, then this situation of an unhappy rich person and a happy poor person, this could never happen if material wealth could always produce happiness. Indeed, material wealth does have its benefits, but it's limited in its ability to produce true deep happiness. If we have developed our minds in enough beneficial ways, then we will find a true deep happiness, whether we are rich or poor, healthy or sick, old or young, if we have developed our minds in enough beneficial ways. It's also possible during this development that our problems and difficulties stop being problems and difficulties in the normal sense of the words. Instead, they can be viewed as an opportunity to learn and to grow. One little story, which is an example of this, is about a hotel manager. The hotel and the staff were very well known for their fine, outstanding service. Once the manager was being interviewed and was asked, "What do you do when you have a problem?" They replied, "Here at this hotel, we have no problems. Here at this hotel, we have only challenges. With the development of our minds, each one of us can change our problems into challenges. This is the most important thing that we could wish for ourselves or wish for others, the ability to develop our minds in beneficial ways." The word loving kindness, as we use here, means it's wishing for deeper peace, contentment, and happiness, which often follows or is closely connected to the compassionate wish to lessen difficulties, problems, and unhappiness. The close connection that can exist between compassion and loving kindness can be further understood with the use of this little example. Suppose a wise, mature parent were to walk into their child's room while the child was peacefully sleeping. And they looked upon the peaceful sleeping face. They might be filled with the compassionate thoughts, such as realizing that their child might have similar difficulties and challenges in their life as they themselves have had. And then the wise, mature parent might be filled with the loving, kind thoughts, such as wishing that their child will be able to develop their minds so that they can overcome any difficulty, any challenge that they have. The development of compassion and loving kindness has many benefits. Among these benefits is that this will help us to let go of anger, hatred, irritation, annoyance, etc. Anger, hatred, irritations, and such create many problems for us and for others. There are frequently prime reasons behind wars, killings, beatings, confiscations, suppressions, annihilations, and more. All the different hatreds and prejudices cause so many difficulties for each one of us. It's fairly easy to see the difficulties if we watch somebody else who's angry in some verbal or physical way. But what about when we get angry? It's not so easy to see. If we do actually allow our anger to come out verbally or physically, then often we will see what it produces. But what about those times when we don't show our anger, when we so-called control ourselves, holding the anger within? Many people will hold anger inside long after an experience has happened. Many weeks, months, years. It's probable each one of us here has done this to some degree or another. And often the basic story is pretty much the same. Somebody does something to us that we did not like. We got angry, but we didn't show the anger outwardly. We controlled ourselves. But later we recreate the incident over and over again in our mind, recalling how stupid we think the other person was, and often wishing bad things to happen to that person. Minutes are wasted thinking and fuming in this way. Hours are wasted, days, weeks, months. Sadly, some people will hold on to these angers for the rest of their life. What is the result if we hold on to some past incident in this way? Pain. Mental pain. Mental pain for us. The other person goes on living their life, but we go on recreating this past incident all the time with our righteous attitude, just breeding more and more pain within ourselves. Pain, mental pain. It has been said that having anger towards others is as if we reach into a burning hot fire and pull out a burning hot piece of coal with the intention of throwing it at the person we're angry at. But what happens? The fire burns the hand that grabs it. We have only burning in the mind, pain, mental pain. We do not have to act like this. The development of compassion, loving kindness can help us to overcome all of our anger, hatreds, irritations, annoyances, etc. From the very smallest little irritation to the most intense anger and hatred, they can all be lessened as our compassion, loving kindness grow. Basically, anger and aversions are opposite states of mind to compassion, loving kindness. And they cannot exist together at the same time. It's not too difficult to understand that if we could lessen the angers and aversions that we have in our life, this would be a major step in finding deeper peace and happiness in our life. So we see problems, difficulties, something that's unsatisfactory. Then we have compassion rising towards it, wishing it was not there. Then loving kindness may arise, wishing for peace and happiness to be there instead. Then with compassion, loving kindness as our thoughts, we go about using mindfulness as our tool, mindfulness or awareness. To be mindful, to be aware, to know what we are doing, to know what we are saying, to know what we are thinking. If we can be mindful and aware of our actions, speech, and our thoughts, we will make less mistakes. We will cause less difficulties for ourselves, and we will cause less difficulties for others. Compassion, loving kindness are very closely related to mindfulness. We could say that they can feed the growth of each other. Mindfulness used in this way is obviously a method by which we can put our compassion, loving kindness into action. By observing closely, we can see when and where difficulties exist and the causes that bring them about, and then work towards solving the difficulties. As I mentioned earlier, the development of mindfulness and the understanding that can come from it can often be viewed to develop in four stages. First, it comes after a situation has occurred, and we reflect upon it, how we could do something better, how we didn't do it so well, and so on. First stage of developing mindfulness and understanding often comes after a situation is finished. Then later, as we understand the situations more and our mindfulness is sharper, we may become aware while we're having the situation. Later, when the mindfulness is even sharper, the understanding deeper, we will become aware just in the beginning of the situation. And then later, when our mindfulness is very sharp, our understanding very deep, we'll come to understand the causes and conditions which bring about similar situations. than if we're mindful of the conditions arising before the situation even occurs, we're in a very good position. Use our wisdom and react in a good way. So by developing mindfulness of our problems, difficulties, angers, irritations, annoyances, etc., we will come to understand, when does a difficulty exist? When does it not exist? We will come to understand, where does the difficulty come from? How does the difficulty go away? And most important, how do similar difficulties not come again in the future? As this type of compassion understanding grows, the wish and the ability to lessen difficulties and problems will also grow. By practicing in this way, we will find deeper peace and deeper happiness, and hopefully be able to help others find deeper peace and deeper happiness. From what I've said so far tonight, hopefully each one of you has more clarity on the importance that the development of compassion and loving-kindness has within the overall practice. If a person did not have any compassion, loving-kindness at all, then basically there would exist no desire to try to solve their problems. There would be little or no desire to practice meditation, and wisdom or understanding would be very difficult to develop. What will follow shortly will be a guided meditation concerned with the development of compassion, loving kindness. But first, we'll have a short break so you can stretch your legs or go to the toilet. This guided meditation is a type of reflective, contemplative meditation in which we will be using thought, but we'll be trying to keep it in a certain direction. Awareness of the breathing will be used just in the first few moments just to help settle into the posture. And then as soon as I start speaking, let go of being aware of the breathing and focus your attention on what is being said. In a guided meditation such as this, it is best to keep the eyes closed as in the general sit-in. Also, if you do have any pains arise during the meditation, quite okay, shift your legs around, relax your back as need be, but try to keep your mind focused on the meditation. There will be several situations mentioned, there will be several instructions given, and there will also be periods of silence. During the silence, try to follow along with whatever was just mentioned. If it was a specific instruction, then try to follow along with it. Think about, reflect, perhaps visualize the situations mentioned and the possible responses of some people in the situations. Occasionally, during this meditation, there are some parts which produce odd or difficult responses in some people. If you happen to have any odd or difficult response, try to become aware as to how you are reacting, both in the body and in the mind. Knowledge of these reactions can be very helpful in your development of compassion and loving kindness. If you do not already know by now, your body and your breath will react certain ways when the mind is stimulated and other ways when the mind is peaceful. Knowledge of these reactions can be very helpful. After you have noted any particular reaction that you're having, then try to follow along again with the meditation. So let us begin. Please settle yourself in a formal posture if you have not already done so. Just become aware of the breathing for a few moments, relaxing into the posture. Now try to identify with this situation. A family of two parents and three children are living comfortably in a suburb of a big city. The working parent has a good enough job so that things are going smoothly for all. The family is very happy. One day the worker goes to work and just prior to lunch gets a promotion. At the same time a bad fire occurs at home, destroying the house, killing the other parent and all three children. Unknowingly, the worker goes home at lunchtime to tell the family the good news of the promotion. Now try to put yourself in the worker's position. Try to feel as a worker would driving up to your house with this good news, only to see a complete disaster and all of your family killed. Try to feel with the pain of the situation. Good news of promotion? Not very important now. Heaviness, sadness? Try to raise a feeling inside for this person and this very sad occasion. Many in the world feel a lot of pity for others with problems, especially extreme suffering such as this. But pity can be cold. Pity can be from the outside looking at them over there. Try to get inside. Try to get to the feeling of compassion. Try to let go of some of your conditioning and get to this feeling for this person. A deep feeling of wishing that you could help, wishing things could be different. This is a reaction to an unpleasant situation. Feeling with the pains as your own and reacting, this can be an aspect of compassion. Out of this compassion can come the hope, the wish of loving kindness, that this person will be able one day to find peace of mind after such tremendous difficulty. Not that this person will simply get married again, have 3 more children and a new house, but that this person will find peace of mind, through some mental development be able to cope with, understand, and accept what has happened. Try to wish this person that type of loving kindness. May this person one day be able to learn, practice, and develop methods, techniques, and tools of mental development so that they can cope with, understand, accept, and overcome difficulties and challenges of life. May this person find peace of mind. Now try to identify with another situation. 2 best young friends, we will call Jim and Tom, are out for the evening doing what for many young friends is quite common. Nothing in particular, having a nice time at a beach disco. They go out on the pier in a happy mood, feeling good and joking. In the sense of the words, having a good harmless time. Then jokingly, Jim teases Tom by almost pushing Tom over the pier into the water. But in reacting, Tom slips and falls in anyway. Although a good swimmer, Tom was not moving much. Jim jumped in and helped Tom to shore, only to discover that Tom was now a paraplegic, paralyzed. try to feel with the pain of this situation. Best friends, happy evening. One has now caused the other to become a paraplegic, paralyzed. Try to get to that heavy feeling inside. Something very difficult has happened to both Tom and Jim. This bad accident that has happened to Tom is extremely sad, but for now, please focus your attention on Jim. Jim has just caused his best friend to become paralyzed. The guilt and self-hatred are vast, enormous, huge. Feel with Jim. Try to feel with this pain. Try to feel compassion for Jim. Now let the feeling, the wish, the hope arise that Jim will someday find some tools of mental development to be able to cope with, understand, and accept what has happened. And in Jim's case, that this mental development will also enable Jim to forgive himself, as he will have enormous guilt and self-hatred. Let this wish, this loving-kindness, warm feeling, rise within you for Jim. This is a different feeling from compassion. This is a feeling that can wipe away tears. That there are tools of mental development that can help, and that Jim will one day learn these tools. May Jim one day be able to learn, practice, and develop methods, techniques, and tools of mental development so that he can cope with, understand, accept, and overcome the difficulties and challenges of life. May Jim find peace of mind. Now please consider another situation. This one concerns you and another person. This person is someone whom you know or have known. This person is obnoxious, very disturbing, a gossip, a braggart, a bully, a cheat, a liar, or whatever else you do not like. Most of us have known someone whom we did not like, someone who had difficulties, who did something unkind to us. Try not to remember a difficult person in your past. Try to remember an exact occasion when this person did something unkind to you. Try now to get back the feelings you had then. Dislike, irritation, anger. For some of you, this may be difficult. For others, perhaps easy. Try to get to that feeling of dislike for that person who did something unkind to you. You probably had this feeling as a child, try to remember. Like compassion, this feeling of aversion can often have physical reactions as well. Maybe tenseness, maybe changes in the heartbeat, the breath, the face, the mouth, the teeth. Now, I've had a few difficult people in my past. Consider this one. I have not seen this person since high school, but some years ago I found out some different things about them. I was told that they have tried to commit suicide twice. I was told about their upbringing at home, about the family life they had had, and how bad it was. With parents who had great difficulties, and brothers and sisters who also had many difficulties. The details are unimportant. Perhaps you know similar people. How can I hate my difficult person knowing this? How can I hate my other difficult people considering this? Let your hatred give way to compassion, understanding that your difficult people are probably similar to mine, perhaps messed up, perhaps confused, with little understanding of how to bring peace and happiness to themselves or to others, unable to control their reactions to life, and often isolated, alone. This can be difficult. If so, try not to worry. Try to get some of that same feeling you had a few minutes ago toward the worker and Jim. Do not force it. It may not be able to come yet. The aversion can be strong. If you continue to develop your mind wisely, the aversion will weaken, the compassion will grow. Try to bring forth some compassion for your difficult person. Having now understood more about your difficult person's pains and obstacles, try now to wish some loving kindness toward them. To a confused person, how can you wish anything else, except that they will someday be able to find peace of mind and cease to be a problem for other people? The wish that your difficult person will be able to achieve some mental development so they can cope with, understand, and accept their challenges of life. May this person one day be able to learn, practice, and develop methods, techniques, and tools of mental development so that they can cope with, understand, accept, and overcome the difficulties and challenges of life. May this person find peace of mind. Now, it is possible that you have met someone who is opposite to this, someone who is always kind and nice to be with. It only takes a little bit of understanding the mind to know that unless that person is a perfect human being, then they too have some difficulties, pains, or obstacles. Although perhaps only minor problems for most people, to them they may consider it to be a major difficulty. Try now to bring forth some compassion for this person whom you know who is nice and kind. Inwardly at times you may be somewhat envious of this person, but consider this. They, like you, are still having some difficulties. They, like you, are still traveling the path of mental development. They, like you, may have obstacles and problems in finding total peace of mind. They, too, need compassion, the wish of loving kindness. So try now to raise some compassion for them, and then try to wish to them that they will be able to cope with, understand, overcome their challenges of life. May this person perfect their learning, practicing, developing of methods, techniques, and tools of mental development so that they can cope with, understand, accept, and overcome the difficulties and challenges of life. May this person find peace of mind. Now try to bring forth compassion for your parents or the person or persons who were your substitute parents. Try to identify with the difficulties that they had. Try to understand how hard things may have been for them. Most likely, they did not have a university degree in parenthood. They probably did not know everything, and they probably made many mistakes. Try now to get to that deeper feeling of compassion for them. There was probably at least one occasion when you were punished, and yet you did not even know what you had done wrong. And possibly you did not even do anything wrong. Can you have compassionate understanding to realize that your parents or substitute parents were limited in their own mental development? And like most of us, with limited mental development, we will make mistakes. Now with this understanding, try to bring forth the wish of loving kindness towards your parents or substitute parents. Wish them that very great wish, that they will be able to learn and develop methods of mental development so that they can cope with, understand, accept, and overcome the difficulties of life and find peace of mind. Try to wish this loving kindness towards them. May my parents be able to learn, practice, and develop methods, techniques, and tools of mental development so that they can cope with, understand, accept, and overcome the difficulties and challenges of life. May my parents find peace of mind. Take the next few moments to consider one or more of your friends. Try to raise some compassion for them and then the wish of loving kindness. May my friends be able to learn, practice, and develop methods, techniques, and tools of mental development so that they can cope with, understand, accept, and overcome the difficulties and challenges of life. May my friends find peace of mind. Through practice and experience, you will probably find that there is one person for whom you have the most trouble with raising compassion, loving kindness towards. For many, if not all of you, you will discover that this person is yourself. You know everything that you have done. You know all of the kind, beneficial things that you have done, and you know all of the unkind, unbeneficial things that you have done. For many of us, the unkind things play a greater role in our memory. We tend to shy away from thinking about the kind things that we have done. This way of thinking can bring about some major obstacles, such as the feelings of guilt, self-hatred, unworthiness, doubt, self-pity, inferiority, and many, many more. Take a look at your past now and try to bring to mind some of those unkind things that you have done. Things that most of us do not really like looking at too closely. We have probably all done something that we are not happy about. Stole something, cheated someone, lied about something. Even those unkind thoughts that we have had towards someone. Try to think about some of these things. You may have acted like some of the people whom you yourself dislike, doing something unkind to others. Unpleasant feelings may be arising. If so, examine them. There may be difficulty here. Note your physical reactions, the body, the face, the breath. Can you view yourself when you were a six-year-old as not who you are today? It is not too difficult. As a six-year-old child who did not understand much, who was ignorant of many things, and who made many mistakes, try now to raise some compassion for the little six-year-old who you were. What about when you were 10 years old? Can you raise some compassion for that person who you were then, who did not understand much, who was ignorant of many things, and who made many mistakes? Try to raise some compassion for that little 10-year-old. What about when you were 15 years old? Certainly not the same person who you are now. Probably did not really understand much, probably ignorant of many things, and probably made many mistakes. Try to raise some compassion for that 15-year-old. What about the person who you were last year? Can you view that person as different from yourself now? Probably not really understanding everything, ignorant of some things, and still making mistakes. That person needed compassion also. What about the person who you were yesterday? Different in some small way from who you are today. Yesterday you probably did not understand everything, probably still ignorant of some things, and possibly still making some mistakes. Try to have some compassion for the person you were yesterday, different in some way from who you are now. What about now? At this very moment, you probably do not understand everything. You are probably ignorant of some things, and you are possibly still likely to make a mistake. You need compassion as much as everyone else. You have pains like everyone else. You have your own difficulties. Try to have some compassion for yourself. Now, what is the most important thing that you want? What can you wish for yourself that would be most valuable? Is it not that you can have peace of mind, that you will have the opportunity of learning, practicing, and perfecting mental development, so that you can overcome all of your difficulties from the little to the large? Give yourself that wish. Try to turn that type of loving kindness onto yourself. You deserve this loving kindness just like everyone else. May I be able to continue my learning, practicing, and developing of methods, techniques, and tools of mental development so that I can cope with, understand, accept, and overcome difficulties and challenges of life. May I find peace of mind. There are many different ways of doing compassion, loving kindness meditation. This has been one of them. Many of you may have noticed that there were some repeated phrases used throughout the meditation. If you wish to do this or similar compassion, loving kindness meditations, the using of certain phrases, reflections, visualizations, and more can be very helpful. If you bring to mind the example I gave earlier about the parent and the sleeping child, it may or may not be that the parent actually had a lot of words going through their mind for the feelings of compassion, loving kindness to arise. But for many of us who wish to develop more compassion, loving kindness within ourselves, the usage of words, thoughts, visualizations, and more can be very helpful. However, it is important not to just simply perform the action of repetitious thought. Try to use these techniques to develop a deeper, compassionate, loving-kind understanding that all of us have similar difficulties and challenges in life. From time to time, we get injured, we get ill, we get separated from things we want to be with. We have to be with things we don't want to be with, and often we just do not get what we want. Just as you wish for more peace and happiness in your life and less problems and difficulties, so too do most beings wish for more peace and happiness in their life. When you do compassion, loving kindness meditation in the future, you may wish to reflect on the rest of your relatives, friends, teachers, people you know, people you don't know, people you like, people you don't like, perhaps other animals and creatures that bring out the hindrance of aversion within you, barking dogs, biting ants, mosquitoes, etc. There are many different ways of doing this type of meditation, and I'd like to briefly explain a couple of systematic ways. You could start with yourself, have compassion, loving kindness for yourself. Then consider the closest person in the room to you. Then the next closest person, and so on to all the people in the room. If you still have time, you could then expand to the people here in the center, the staff and so on. You could extend further as to groups of people, the people in the local village, extending further the people in the country, Europe and so on. Depending on how much time you have, you can continue expanding in this way. When you're finishing, it can be very helpful to come back and finish with yourself. Another systematic way is to start with yourself, and then consider your closest relative, whether husband, wife, children, parents. Consider your other relatives. Then perhaps your friends, your teachers, and so on, expanding outward. When you're finishing, again, it can be helpful to come back and finish with yourself. There are many different ways. We want to encourage you now to start using the compassion, loving kindness meditation during your formal sitting and standing postures. Sometimes do the awareness of the breathing, and sometimes do the compassion, loving kindness meditation. Some people, even if they're going to do the awareness of the breathing for the period, they like to start the session with just a few minutes of some compassion, loving kindness meditation. Other meditators like to end every session they do with a few minutes of this. And there are some meditators who will begin and end every session they do. with a little bit of compassion, loving kindness meditation. This is also a technique which can help you if you're having a strong hindrance attack while you're doing a different meditation subject. As we've mentioned so far, when you're having a hindrance attack, to note the thoughts, then come back, note them and come back. If the same thought, same story is very sticky, keeps coming back again and again, then we advise you to stop the meditation that you're doing and focus your attention on the body. After you do that, if the thoughts are still coming very strongly, then you can change and do some compassion, loving kindness meditation. First, do it for all of the people or creatures who are in your thoughts. Then do it for yourself. You've got a problem right then at that time. Then do it for the other meditators. Somebody else is probably having a hindrance attack also. Then expand further to think of someone around the world is going to have a similar difficulty that you've got right then at that moment. And for many other people around the world, they don't even know of a method to help themselves with. Do some compassion and kindness for them. If you do the compassion and kindness in this way for a few minutes, 5 minutes or more, you might discover that the hindrance thoughts have gradually lessened and perhaps even disappeared. And then you can return back to your object of meditation. This is also a technique which we would like to encourage you to use when you're lying down before going to sleep. It has been written in many meditation books, and it has been the experience of many meditators that if a person develops compassion, loving kindness strongly within themselves, then certain benefits will come to that person. Among the benefits that are often listed are the abilities to fall asleep easily, to wake up easily, and to dream few, if any, unpleasant dreams. Do keep in mind here, though, I'm not saying you can go to bed tonight, do a bit of this meditation, and have a perfect sleep. Doesn't always work that fast. What I said was that if a person develops compassion, loving kindness strongly enough within themselves, then certain benefits will come to that person. As we live our life, the more loving, kind, patient, peaceful we are in the daytime, this will carry over into our sleep and into our dreams. Concerning dreaming, many people find that if they have a nightmare or a very disturbing dream, then when they wake up, there's a great deal of agitation present. And this agitation may stay for many minutes, even hours, rare cases, even days. If you happen to have a nightmare or a very disturbing dream, as soon as you wake up, still lying down in bed, we encourage you to do a little bit of this meditation. First, do it for all the people or creatures who were in your dream, even if you cannot remember names and only vaguely remember faces. Then do it for yourself. Then do it for all the people around the world who might be having a nightmare at that time. If you do the compassion, loving kindness meditation this way, as soon as you wake up from your disturbing dream, you may find that the agitation level will be much less than normal, and it'll pass away quicker than normal. This is also a technique which does not have to be used in only a formal meditation environment. Basically speaking, it's a way of thinking. You can use it any time during the day. Whenever you see that thinking this way will help bring you back to a place of peace and balance. Whenever you're thinking, having some aversion towards some other person, you can reflect similar to how we reflected on what I called our difficult person. Anytime you're having aversion to yourself, you can reflect similar on how we reflected on ourselves. And it's probable you can think up more reflections to the few I've given here tonight. If you become more aware of the aversions and angers that you have in your life, and if you use these or similar compassion, loving kindness meditations, you may find that your aversions will gradually lessen, perhaps totally fade away. Anger and aversion normally disturb our peace and happiness, and they disturb the peace and happiness of others. Compassion, loving kindness normally help create more peace and happiness for ourselves and for others. The energy of anger and aversion can be strong, but we can bend this unwise energy into the wise energy of compassion and loving kindness. May each of us grow in compassion and in loving kindness. Good night.